Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm all ready to go.
All right.
Looking for good news.
We need some good news.
But the biggest job is if you find bad news, how you can turn bad news into good news.
That's magic.
When it's really bad, say, well, see, it's going to end soon. They can't keep doing that. When they totally bankrupt the country and they get $34 trillion in debt. But, you know, I thought that when it was $24 trillion. But it keeps on going. So we have to sort all this out. And today we're going to talk a little bit about one of your favorite senators, or, and I'm being facetious, of course. A guy by the name of Graham, you know, he's at it again. And the headline is he wants to deal with the draft right now. When I first glanced at it, I thought, he wants to draft Americans. Yeah. No, he's not quite ready yet for that. But Zero Hedge has a report on this. In Ukraine, Graham urges expanded conscription despite mounting war fatigue. You know, they're about worn out, and they've worn out the soldiers, and they have used up their soldiers, and they have a mess over there. And America, if we'd ever admit it, that the United States is broke, and we have to just print money if they can continue to demand money. So it's a real mess. But I think right now when we go over this, why they're having trouble with personnel, they had a lot of money given to them by us, and they did have a lot of troop built up. But all of a sudden, it's discovered that they don't even draft people between 18 and 21 or 25 because there aren't any there. Yeah, they don't have anybody there. It's not that they wouldn't draft them, but and there's a reason for that. And I think you have the explanation why they can't draft anybody. So they're talking about, well, we have to draft them older and older. And that reminded me of what I remember as a kid during World War II, because we worried about which relative would be drafted next, and they were going up the age list. But I remember it went to 45, if I'm not mistaken, and that we had an uncle that was drafted when he was 45 years old.
Wow.
So they do go up the list to go and looking for people. But back then, it was just the fact that it wasn't the fact they used them up. They were all in the service and doing other things. But anyway, this is a little bit different right now. They're running out of troops, and they don't know what to do, and they can't fall back on the Europeans. The Europeans aren't all that anxious to send more troops. So that's where we are, and I think that in a way is good news, and bad news for Graham, because he's going to run out of his demagoguery and willingness to get money. And he's predicting, matter of fact, even on the same day as this report, he's predicting it looks like things are going to be worked out. Yeah. It looks like we're going to be able to get the money. And yet we're in the middle of the political fight over the budget, which is very, very healthy, for people thinking about what's going on. But who knows what's going to happen? It's in the mix now. I think that most everything is going to be put on hold, in legislation as well as in the courts until after the election. I think the election is going to determine a lot. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it on the show, and we've shown the video of, you know, because it's all about, this was an unprovoked Russian attack 2 years ago, unprovoked. Well, we've shown the video on this show many times of Lindsey Graham with Senator Blumenthal over there in Ukraine in 2016 saying, this is the year, talking to the soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, this is the year you're going to go on the offensive against Russia, pushing them for this war. You know, it's over and over. So he's back again. He's back in Ukraine. I put this next one on. This got a lot of attention yesterday. Here's the Washington Post. Lindsey Graham visiting Kiev urges Ukraine to pass mobilization law. Now, they've already lost upwards of 500,000 people in this war, but it's not enough for Lindsey Graham. Put on that next one. This is the Hedge article. And here's a quote that is worth paying attention to. On his latest of far too many visits to Ukraine, Senator Lindsey Graham on Monday urged legislators to expand the pool of citizens subject to being drafted and thrown into the country's losing war against Russia, saying, and here's a quote from Lindsey Graham, We need more people in the line. The question, what is he talking about? Who is we? We need more of you to go and die.
Well, he speaks from a psychological position that he believes he's one of the key kingmakers of the empire.
Yeah.
You know, there is no American empire. We're fighting for liberty, you know, and liberty and a constitution. So, but he sees himself, and they themselves become, you know, the authoritarians, but the experts, they're the definer of what truth is and whether or not we even should be fighting this law. They go over to fight for the constitution. This is the irony. They go over and they say, well, we're fighting for our Constitution and our liberties to fight an unconstitutional and an immoral war. They don't even bother with the Constitution. Why are we? Oh, we're not involved. Oh, no, we just finance the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we sneak some people in there, and then we give them all their weapons and say, and our hands are clean. You know, we wash our hands. We have done no harm. We always fight for righteousness. And that's where Graham identifies with. He believes, he comes to the point, he believes it, but it's demagoguery that their ultimate goal is sometimes difficult to figure, other than that, because it's hard for me to put Graham in the cultural Marxist position, because I think there's a Marxist motive in a lot of what we do, especially domestically, and our administration does that. It's a Marxist system, and therefore chaos is necessary. I don't think I don't think Graham comfortably fits right into that, even though he's a co-worker.
Yeah,
because he's causing the chaos and the bankruptcy of this country, because there's never enough bombs and things to send around the world for Graham.
Yeah, he is one of the worst, you know, and I've certainly seen a lot of the video of the conscription officers in Ukraine grabbing people, snatching them off of buses, forcing them to the front line where they're killed immediately. The average age of Ukrainian soldier right now, we're serving in the front, is 42 years old, I think, was the latest. So they're skewed very, very older. If you see clips of POWs, they're older people because they're running out of younger people. Go to the next clip from the article, and this will tell you what Graham was upset about. He's upset that they are older people. The Ukrainian military accepts voluntary enlistments for those 18 and older. However, in stark contrast to Americans' experience with military draft, Ukraine exempts men from under 27 from being conscripted. Since December, the country's legislature has been considering lowering the minimum draft age to 25 to meet the military's projected need for 500,000 more soldiers, I would say, to get churned up. And here is Graham. I would hope those eligible to serve in the Ukrainian military would join. I can't believe conscription age starts at 27. You're in a fight for your life, so you should be serving, not at 25 or 27. So here's little Lindsey Graham telling these people they need to get out there and fight and die. But here's the thing, and you alluded to it earlier on, Dr. Paul, and this is thanks to our friend Bernard at Moonavat, Alabama, who's posted this several times. Go to that next clip. This is the chart of the demographics of Ukraine. There literally are no young men of that age. You see in the middle that looks like a fat dude cinching his belt up. If you look between 18 and 25, there are no young people to conscript. And if you conscript what few there are left, there is literally no future for Ukraine. There will be no men left who can sire the next generation. But of course, Lindsey Graham, childless and unmarried, doesn't care about any of that.
Right, and there's a couple reasons for this. One, were the Ukrainians having children to replace the ones that were dying, or you know, just in a natural sequence? But there's also the fact that they've used up a lot of their soldiers. They've had a lot of people killed over this useless war, and that all of a sudden means that the cannon fodder is coming up short. So they're going to have to recruit somewhere. I think they're annoyed with the Europeans.
Yeah.
The Europeans aren't step up to them. They're the neighbors. Well, maybe we should have let everything up to their neighbors, you know, instead of us getting involved. But of course, it's the globalist type NATO NATO propaganda that puts us in there, because we run NATO and we discover it. But one of the most silly things now, because you know, we're running out of money, we're running out of people, and we've run out of common sense a long time ago. But the one that gets me is, you know, I think Graham had this pseudo discussion with the Ukrainians. Well, if you really, really need the money, maybe we could loan it to you.
Yeah.
Because Trump thinks that's a good idea. And so Graham was always against that, but now that Trump is for it, he's for loaning the money with the plan. Now listen, it's not a giveaway. What they're going to do is loan the money to him to do these things, and then they'll pay it back with interest.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, I think it was without interest.
No interest, yeah.
What's the difference? And I keep thinking, sure, they might pay it back. What if they wait 10 years and they give you a nickel on the dollar?
Yeah.
I mean, in a system where what they get is printed and it's just going to immediately start to depreciate, that it makes no sense. It's hardly a solution to their financial problems.
Yeah, and I don't have the article in front of me, but I was reading something yesterday that BlackRock has bought millions of acres in Ukraine. So that's why this war is being prolonged, because they want to make their profit on the war. But, you know, the demographics are definitely not in their favor. And I've read articles where there's something recently came out, I think, in the New York Times. There are entire villages without men. There simply aren't men. There aren't any men left to grab off the streets. And, in fact, I've seen two videos, at least now, of women in the trenches fighting in the Ukrainian army. And one just the other day, the Russians capture her, and she said, "Please don't hurt me, I'm pregnant." And the Russians said, "What are you doing out here being pregnant? You know, this is nuts. This is crazy." You know, so they're getting desperate. But people like Graham want to urge them to fight even more. And I'll just put up, you did a great job of pointing it out. But here's Graham's new scam. The worst thing about Graham is he'll suck up to anyone as long as war is involved. He hated Trump. Now he loves Trump. Put up that next one. So here, this is it. You're right, Dr. Paul. It's such a scam. Said, "I was very direct with President Zelensky. You can expect me to always be in your corner, but it's not unfair for me to ask you and the other allies, pay us back down the road if you can. I think the loan idea is going to be pretty popular, not just among Republicans, but among Democrats." This shows how desperate they are, because they know this money isn't coming. Americans are turning against another $60 billion down this rat hole. And so here's their brand new scheme. It's going to be a loan. You know, can you imagine, like, walking into a bank, you have no collateral, you have nothing in your pocket, you have no job, you want to take a $100,000 loan.
But you still need a bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe BlackRock or somebody will come along. Yeah. We know how to finance this.
Yeah.
We'll take care of this for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is criminal, and yet they do it so blasé, yeah, like it really is going to work. But that to me is just criminal of what they're doing, and I think human life becomes something that, as long as it isn't in my house, you know,
yeah,
and you don't worry about it. And this way, we're thinking, and the American people can go to sleep on it too, because it isn't quite as gory as the Vietnam War was, but it's still as evil, and there were still as maybe more people were killed in Vietnam than even in Ukraine by now. But it's the mess, it's the corruption, it's the morality that just deteriorates on this, whether it's the financial deal and a bankruptcy and a budget, or whether it's just this fact that we can go over there and lie through this. And Graham, on the same day, he said things are going well, and he was reassuring Zelensky, we're close to a settlement here, we're close to fisticuffs, in the house. Maybe we ought to have just one of those sessions to settle this dispute.
Yeah, that might work out.
But I didn't use the word bloodbath.
No, don't do that.
No bloodbath.
That's a whole other thing. I'm glad we're probably not talking about it today. It's insane. But I guess we're ready to move on, because this is a related story. And so in the meanwhile, well, Ukraine is fighting for all of us and fighting for all of our freedoms, and Putin is ready to mow down the rest of Europe. He's ready to occupy Berlin. He's ready to occupy Paris. In the meantime, put on this next one. This is Politico Europe. Europe's soldiers keep quitting just when NATO needs them. So literally, all of the rhetoric about Putin is coming, Russia is coming, the domino theory, they won't be satisfied until they own the world. If that were the case, Would people be running away from the military in droves in Europe? But that's exactly what's happening.
One person was quoted as saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, thinking that we can draft people, but we're having more people leave. Yeah. We can't even keep up. We can't even replace them. We can't even keep them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the spirit is not there. There's no homeland principle there of what it's like to have the homeland when we were fighting our revolution, or when the homeland people were fighting in Vietnam, when they could take on the United States and the world and still, you know, be able to chase us home, chase us out of there. Mm. So there's none of that right now, but nobody knows who the homeland is. Right now, in the eastern part of Ukraine, I know who represents the homeland, and they don't speak Ukrainian.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's just like the this push to get the Europeans to spend more on military, you know, and Trump is big on this. You better carry your weight. You better spend that 2% of your GDP on the military or else. Well, if the Europeans really did feel so threatened by Russia, would you have to be twisting their arms and cajoling them and threatening them to spend more on their military? You know, I mean, it just shows that they really don't feel threatened. And in fact, if they were threatened, would they be giving all the weapons to Ukraine? They'd be, you know, keeping the weapons there to protect against, you know, the Russian horde that's coming. So the reality is their behavior completely is a mismatch from the rhetoric of the neocons and the pro-war faction.
Yes, and I can't see that really changing. There's not going to be any magic. I don't think they're going to get the spirit of what he's looking for, the Graham people saying, you know, this is, we're fighting Russia, don't you know that? I think they lose their ammunition when they are still back fighting the Cold War in 1946,
yeah.
You know, and the mess we've had after the war ended. So too bad, but I think that this is going to linger until there's a lot more people die, and we already know that we're involved, you know, with all the technology and all the money and all the troops, and that'll eventually end. But we also have troops in there. We have troops on the land in there,
yeah.
And most people recognize that. Nobody would argue, oh, there's not an American in Ukraine at all. Well. We were first ones in there.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
led the charge, and of course, and that was in 2014.
Yep.
They knew we were there, but this is not going to be stable for a while to come.
Yeah. Well, let's do a couple of things from this article. You put on that next clip, because here's the point of the political piece. It's no longer, as you say, Dr. Paul, about recruiting new soldiers. It's about persuading them not to quit. This week, French Armed Forces Minister Sébastien Lecornu presented a talent retention plan to incentivize military personnel to remain. This comes a few days after an annual report submitted to the German parliament showed that in 2023, some 1,537 soldiers left the Bundeswehr, reducing it to 181,514 personnel. Go to the next one now. Here is the problem they're facing. The conversations now exist in all capitals, in all democracies that are professional armies without conscription, Lecornu said on Monday. At NATO meetings, we can talk about equipment, but we also have to talk about the level of retention. And they go on to talk about the fact that there is a renewed discussion over some kind of national reservist being reintroduced. Germany got rid of conscription in 2011, but the others are, and Germany are thinking about bringing it back and conscripting women as well to serve. You know, that may, as much as we oppose the idea of conscription, that may bring it home to these young people that this is, they're not playing, they're serious, they want you to die.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this because people will pop up in this country talking about the institution of the draft. But the draft, you know, was removed in the early 70s and it was gone for a while, and then they wanted to restore registration, and that was a big fuss in the House, and they were determined to have the registration. But there, you know, it was the best part of the the Cold War. There was no right now. There was no the end of the Cold War. There was no tension like we needed troops. But they went ahead and they did this, and they got the. With difficulty, they finally got the registration back. Why did they have to have the registration? To me, it's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Because do you think in this day and age, They don't know where everybody is, what their age is, and where they work, and whether they ever made a phone call to China, you know, that sort of thing. They know everything, but they had to have the registration because there would be people, you know, if things get really tough, and if this determination to fight Russia in Ukraine, if the Europeans won't do it, we run out of money, we just need more troops, they'll do it. They're not beyond it at all to do it. They're capable of doing it, and they'll think they're serving a great purpose by instituting the draft. Yeah. So I'd be concerned, but I don't think that's enough to get people worried about next year.
Yeah.
I hope not anyway, but they're capable. The fact is, the draft registration is there, and the ready recall is available, but let's hope the American people are awake enough to refuse to accept that.
Yeah, and there have been some allies that we have on the progressive side who've been in favor of the draft because they think it'll make us more anti-war. And I think our argument would be that's possible. However, it's not worth the downside of slavery.
That's like we don't want a war with them, so let's send them cookies.
Yeah.
And let them fight over, you know, the benefits of the foreign aid that we give them.
Yeah.
Same difference. So,
well, let's move on to the last story. We just wanted to bring up attention, thanks to our friends over at antiwar.com and Dave DeCamp. Israel will steal, if you can put that one up, Israel will steal 16% of Gaza's land by establishing a buffer zone. The Gaza Strip it's already known as a strip because it's very, very small. Well, Israel says, hey, if we ever leave, we are going to keep 16% of that territory and we're going to call it a buffer zone. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, citing an analysis of the operation by Adi Ben-Nun, a Hebrew University geography professor.
And, you know, they put that out there. They'll probably get away with it. But they don't even want to admit or consider the fact that the real problem over there right now is the consuming of the settlements, you know, the illegal settlements by Israel into Gaza and taking this land. And not with any payment for it or anything. It's illegal absorption of land in Gaza. And here they're going to say they're going to do it right up front now. But this to me looks like all that's going to do is increase that battle we're having in our Senate and in our House on whose side are we going to be on. And the progressives, are split. And here, Biden, he's on both sides.
Yeah.
he sort of was strictly for Israel, but now there were a couple people in this country that thought it wasn't a fair deal, so now he's for both people. He's going to sort it all out, and that's going to be around, but the principle of the settlements and taking this land, I can't imagine anybody thinking that this thing will just go away quietly. There might still be lots of fighting to be done over there. So we'll see. Yeah. Wait and see.
Well, these settlers are basically psychotic. I mean, they'll go up to someone and say, God gave me this land, get out. You know, they're completely nuts, and it's very dangerous, and it's what causes, you know, October 7th was terrible, but it didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, this has been going on for years and years. You've been talking about it for years. Can't just go in and take someone's house. You can't just go plow down people's olive trees and say, well, God, give me your land. Sorry. Take a hike. You know, it's nuts. But our best role would be to stay out of it, as all of our viewers know. So anyway, the last clip, Israeli military insists it needs to create this buffer zone to prevent future October 7th style attacks. Well, that's the reason that they had the attacks, is because of the settlers. But the plan also advances Israel's seizure of Gaza's territory. And many ministers in the Israeli government favor reestablishing Jewish settlements in the Strip. So they do want to have more land for more buildings for Jewish Israelis.
Yeah, this idea that if they get this buffer zone done, you know, probably they'll be building that. And up the road a bit, they'll be digging more tunnels.
There'll be something.
But eventually, maybe there will be some of their so-called allies, the people allied with the Palestinians might also all of a sudden come in and provide them with real aid.
Yeah.
So it is a shame, and I don't see an easy answer to that, obviously, and it's been going on for how many years? 10 years, 20 years, or 20 centuries?
Yeah, a long time.
They've been fighting all of this over.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you're watching us right now live, please just take 1 second and hit like so we can get the show in front of more eyes. And if you're not subscribed or following our channel, please do so. I think we're just past 360-some thousand followers, and we thank everyone for does follow us and who does watch the show. Over to you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. You know, all I can say is programs like this and the many programs that we've had, we've talked about the issues like this, and we find new ones and things get worse. But what we have to realize is, why is it that way? It's because we as a nation have accepted a principle in foreign policy that was not designed in the Constitution or by our founders. Matter of fact, it was advised against us getting involved in entangling alliances. Can you think of anything more entangled than what we've been involved in the last 100 years? It has led to a lot of trouble. Unfortunately, one of the benefits, because it's so tempting, is that America got a great amount of wealth from it, because we are a wealthy nation. We have maneuvered it into it. We were controlled the reserve currency of the world, and we were able to avoid an invasion of this country. But we did not accept the principle that we ought to mind our own business and work on our problems, because as long as we are the conquerors of the world and running an empire, we will neglect our liberties here at home. So yes, I fear all this trash that's going on and how dangerous it is and how expensive it is, but still the Constitution said we should pay attention not only to foreign danger but domestic danger. And right now, when you look at our court system, our financial system, and the whole mess that we have here, the dangers are here, and they're based on principles that have been taught in our universities. We have to recognize that and start thinking about raising up a generation of understands this, rather than understanding the place that the progressives have gone to, far out of control, where so many progressives, and there's still plenty because we are friends with them, that deal with civil liberties and war. And they're anti-war and they protect civil liberties. So those ideas are alive and well. Matter of fact, overall, if you measure it by number of people, I believe our numbers are gaining. But our influence, because of the lack of control of the very biased media, the perceptions are quite different. So we will keep plugging along. So we once again want to thank our viewers very much for supporting us. And please return to the Liberty Report soon.